to turn people from alcoholism. And in the Old Covenant, they could turn from their sins. They were commanded to turn from their sins. But the system itself, the sacrificial system, did not, it was not a mechanism to bring about the turning. It was only a mechanism to bring about forgiveness. And I think that's what people have missed this about Christ, that it is not just a mechanism for forgiveness. It is also a mechanism for turning. It is a mechanism for making us right, of purging not just our conscience in the sense of our conscience, we no longer feel guilty about what we've done. That doesn't accomplish anything. Because now you're just lying to yourself. Now you're just, guilt-free sinning is basically what they preach. And I do not think that any of the apostles would approve. I'm quite certain, as a matter of fact. How much more shall the blood of Christ purge our conscience from dead works? How much more? All the more. And this is the message of the New Testament. Christ did not really come to forgive your sins, but to purge you. Not of the guilt. Though, yes, of the guilt, but not merely of the guilt. As I've has been told me, it's just the guilt. And we'll see, and as I say, as I go through the scriptures, I find proof I stumble over proofs of this everywhere. But it's the most neglected truth of Christianity. And it is so critical to the gospel that it renders the gospels believed on and preached out there to be utterly worthless. In my sight, in the sight of God, I have no doubt. Because they're not even believing in the promises that God has promised. They're believing in something else. It's like they're back under the veil. They're back in a cyclical system that goes round and round. Verse 15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, the New Covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So he is the mediator of this New Covenant, that by means of his death, they which are called, see, you got to understand the parenthetical phrases, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, by means of death, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. That is the promise of an eternal inheritance. And for the redemption of the transgressions which were under the first testament, the first covenant. So in what he's saying is that this death pertained also to the old covenant in redeeming the transgressions that were under it. And how does that work? Well, it explains here in verse 16. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. And this is a testament in the sense of course, like a will, a disposition, a compact, which is the same thing as a covenant, but this is a compact. Verse 18, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Taking that all as a whole, we see Christ as mediator of this new testament, this new contract, which is a will. That's why he's looking at it. Christ's death was redemption of the transgressions that were under the law. Meaning, it's like that God had set up that system as a shadow waiting for Christ. And Christ's sacrifice fulfilled it and put it all away. That they didn't need to be anymore. So that we could receive the promise according to a better covenant. Not just that Jesus didn't just replace all the animals. Is that what he suffered for? Just to be, just so animals wouldn't have to die? Because God could forgive our sins on whatever basis he wants. It's not merely the forgiveness of sins that he bought. But also, there's a promise. There are many promises, actually. And by these we take hold and obtain the divine nature. And we are changed. And we escape the corruption of the world, which is in the world, through lust. At least that's what the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1. And that's what Paul says over and over again, similarly. But where the testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. I mean, Christ died, and his death was as the fulfillment of a will. A testament is of force after men are dead. I mean, if I have a will, my will doesn't really mean anything until I die. And then it comes out what I wanted to be done. But while I live, it's not like they come and say, oh, you want to give all your goods to your oldest son? Well, you know, we'll have to take that now, thank you. No, it has no power. Well, I'm still alive. And the same thing with Christ is the old covenant was still active during the lifetime of Christ. And sometimes people don't understand that when they read the Gospels. That a lot of things he did was under the old covenant. You know, Jesus walked around as a Jew walked around. He walked around with tassels on his garment. He walked around wearing garments of only one kind of fabric, not wool and cotton.